Joined in studio by the brand new general manager of the Buffalo Bills, fresh off the podium at the news conference an hour ago, Brandon Bean. Brandon, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here in Buffalo.
Great to have you here.
Well, I'll just start this off because I'm the weatherman on the show, right? And so,
all he does is whine about weather.
You're coming from North Carolina, from Carolina, where it's a little bit warmer than Buffalo. What's the family feeling about coming to Buffalo?
Obviously, when people talk about Buffalo, the weather, it's the obvious question. Mm-hmm. But, we're excited about it. My kids have not seen a lot of snow. They've seen snow. So we're going to embrace it. Like I said, I mentioned this earlier. I hope, in December and January to have home games here and make this a tough place for other teams to come play.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the news conference you have two sons, right? Tyson and Wes?
Tyson and Wes, yep.
And your wife, Haley, is here with you this weekend.
Yes. So Haley's here. She's going to jump right into home searching today and hopefully get my boys up here in a couple weeks.
Because this is a big move. I mean, professionally, you've spent your entire career in Charlotte, right?
It is. I'm a very Terry mentioned it, and I was glad the way he worded it. I'm a very loyal guy. Was loyal to the Panthers the whole time. I was not one of those guys trying to bounce around. You see that in this league. You hire me, I'm going to do everything I can. But this was just an opportunity that, you have to investigate. There's 32 of these in the world. And when I looked into it, it was even better than I ever imagined it.
In what way?
Just the Pegulas, Tim and Carrie, I promise you, they are so passionate. They want to win. And, I mean, we talked about different things, resources that they've already done here, things they can do. And it was amazing to hear their passion for this city and the two franchises they own. And I want to help, get this thing rolling.
When you hear about the passion from the city, from the fan base, things like that, and then you know that this team hasn't been to the playoffs in, 17 years, I mean, you have to feel like the Pegulas are essentially still new owners, mm-hmm. a new coaching staff, you being the first time, head GM now.
Yep.
You have to look at it as like, man, it's a great opportunity to change the face of a city, to change everything that this city has gone through for the last 17 years.
And I said it earlier, I empathize with the fans here. I know how passionate they are and how exciting would it be to be a part, because it's not my thing. It's our thing. We the Buffalo Bills. And I can't wait till we get back in the playoffs and take it even further.
Mm-hmm. With Brandon Bean, the new general manager of the Buffalo Bills, joining us in studio, since the announcement was made a couple of days ago, and you look at your backstory and your background, all of us, I think, respond to the way you came up. I mean, I don't know about you, Donald, but it caused me to reflect on, working at small radio stations. You talked about coming into the league as an undrafted free agent. Your rise to start as an intern and to be where you are now is the kind of story that most people love to hear. It's a pretty remarkable rise, and it's really like an American success story, isn't it?
Yeah, this league, there's a lot of people that know people to get in, and I pride myself that I didn't know anybody, and I just an undrafted free agent is probably a good analogy for me. But I love to put my head down and work and be a team guy, do what it takes, and that's what you're going to see. And I think it marries up with Buffalo. This is a blue-collar, hard-working town, and that's really how I see myself.
Did you, when you started out as an intern in media relations?
For 4 weeks. It was mostly,
just a month?
It was just a month. Most of it was football operations.
And you had your eye on football ops.
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And always wanted to be a GM?
Wanted to be a GM. You never know how you're going to get there, but once my high school playing days were over, I just was trying to figure out how to either do it in college or how to do it in pro, and I asked questions, and I was able to speak to a gentleman with the Orlando Magic one time, and that conversation, he just said some things that said, I'm going to go pro, and I worked so hard and just made the connections in Carolina, and the rest is history.
And you played quarterback in high school?
Played quarterback in high school, yeah. Tore my ACL, my opening game of my senior year.
What did the gentleman with the Magic tell you about breaking into pro sports and how to get involved?
Just you can do it. I was talking about different ways, and at the time I was an English major in school planning to be a teacher coach, and he thought maybe change into like communications or something like that. I wasn't going to be able to walk in without any coaching experience and be a coach or a scout, so I took that path and just said, I'm going to get in the organization, I'm going to figure out who I need to talk to, and I'm going to show them that I can do this.
I would imagine there were hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of manpower, right, that went in on your part, just being around, just putting in the time, right?
And that's what you got to do. You got to love it. I didn't do this. When my wife said, you know, you can go with Carolina. She was teaching and making about $22,000. And I said, honey, I want to do this season internship in football ops. So like I said, I did the month thing as a PR guy, but the whole season I was still an intern. And, you know, you're making minimum wage. I was making five something an hour. Obviously, that's you're not doing that for the money.
Right.
You're doing it for the experience. And that's the way it was. And for years, I didn't make a lot of money. I didn't care. It didn't feel like a job. I loved it. And I'm just as excited today as I was day one in Carolina.
It's great to have a wife who will support you with that too, right?
Without her, I wouldn't be here. She was unbelievable, and it's just paid dividends for our family, the doors that it's opened for my kids, and without them and the sacrifices they make for the travel that goes along with this job, it's unbelievable, and I'm so appreciative.
And your rise from working in media relations in the media department down there to where you are now, is there one thing that you've learned since being in this league, like one thing that sticks out in your mind?
Well, I think just, you know, I'm not a guy that's going to make a huge, bold statement of we're going to do X by this year. I just think you just play it, you build it, and build a solid foundation, and that's what Sean and I are looking to do.
Speaking of bold statements, you said in the press conference, you know, the big splash free agents, and you like to build through the draft. So I guess we can get into a little bit about players, your vision of building a team.
Well, you know, we want players with character that are tough, smart. Obviously, they have to have athletic ability, the things you see on tape, but we want guys with integrity that want to work hard. And I tell you, the one thing that I really look for in the college guys coming out, who is ultra competitive? What players, you know, I asked my scouts this year at the very end, right before draft, tell me three guys in your area that are so ultra competitive, they'll chew glass, they'll eat nails for their teammates, for their coaches. And it's funny to hear the different guys that come up, but those are the guys that I want, and I know Sean sees it the same way.
The question is, how far down on the scouting list are those guys, and how many guys do you bypass to get to the kind of guys you just talked about? It's a difficult balancing act, isn't it?
It definitely is, but you can find those guys in the first round, in the sixth round, and undrafted. I mean, you yourself played in the league. A lot of times undrafted guys come with – they were slighted. They've never been looked at. They weren't the top recruit in college necessarily, but they have an edge, and sometimes those make the best pros.
My question is, how do you bypass guys, because I know we want good character guys, but how do you bypass certain guys in the draft that you know, like, man, this dude is a beast on the field, but we just can't deal with the character stuff off the field?
You know, I think this is a team game, and when you're talking about 53 guys and 11 on the field at a time, I need to know that you got my back all the time, and you need to know that I got my back. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, it's just one of those things where if guys aren't in sync and guys can't trust each other, it doesn't matter what the talent is. I've seen it. It becomes cancerous in the locker room, and it doesn't work.
Brandon, is this maybe the shared vision that people talk about when they talk about you and Sean McDermott having a similar vision? Is this what you're describing here?
Yeah. I mean, Sean and I, it's funny, we're cut from a similar cloth of, you know, humbleness and hard work and working your way up. And that's the kind of guys we want. We want guys that are going to earn the right to be on this team, to start, to be on special teams. Everybody's going to have a role, and all we're going to ask them to do is lay it on the line in practice, in the film room, in the weight room, the diet. It's everything, being a pro. We talk about in Carolina, there are professional football players, and there's guys who play professional football. We want the guys who are professional football, all ball, all the time.
Now, you know, here there's a lot being made of relationship between the GM and the head coach, and, you know, people thought that, you know, you had a good relationship with Sean McDermott. We're not talking about, now you talked in the press conference about, you know, going on runs and things like that, but we don't, I mean, you guys are not like buddy-buddy. I mean, it's just a good working relationship, right? And that's how it should be?
100%. You know, it's funny, Sean and I both interviewed in San Francisco, and we were on the same plane coming back, and he was hearing very positive news from here, and I was so excited for him to get that opportunity while I was still hoping to get the San Francisco job. So it was never anything like Sean and I trying to figure out a way. It was what's best for him and his family, what's best for me and my family, and nobody can predict the future. And when I got the call from the Pegulas, you know, a couple days after the draft, you know, I was like, wow, this could work out for Sean and I to be here.
With Brandon Bean, the new general manager of the Buffalo Bills, a couple of minutes left. Brandon, Who are the biggest influences on your football career, whether Carolina or anywhere? Who do you consider like mentors or maybe people that you would want to model your career after?
Well, obviously it starts, I mentioned it, Mr. Richmond in my press conference. He gave me a chance. He didn't come from much. He earned his way as a player at Baltimore Colts and building restaurants. And he was a blue-collar guy, and that's what I consider myself. Marty Herney taught me a lot, gave me a lot. Every time I would conquer a task, he would give me more, you know, from salary cap stuff to letting me scout stuff, letting me sit in the draft room, letting me add duties as the years went along. And he prepared me for that interim job, the interim GM job that I got before Dave got there. And then Dave had just been a lifelong scout, obviously started his career here in Buffalo, which is a neat symmetry. But Dave kind of just, we just talked scouting all the time. I taught him some things about running the business part of it. He taught me things I didn't know about scouting and let me go. He sent me off. And I think in a couple of years, he realized I knew what I was doing and he gave me the assistant GM title.
Dave Gettleman on our show a couple of days ago talked about you and said how you have developed a good eye for scouting. But he also said he put you out on the road a little bit, wanted kind of enhance that part of your resume, I guess, the last few years down there?
Yeah, he did. When I was the interim, I jumped on the road a little bit. And when Dave got there, he realized I had done more pro stuff behind the scenes in college. And he said, we got to broaden it. So what I did was I switched my focus and just started focusing more on the college while still one eye on the pro once the season started. But I hit the road ever since 2013 and through this year. And just it's been fun to watch the draft and build the draft room and run the draft room.
Speaking of scouting pro and college, I mean, now once you get off of our show and probably go and watch a little bit of practice, I'm sure you're on the phones, you're probably receiving text messages and calls about, hire me, I want to be a part of your team.
Yeah, you know, it's been neat. You try to get back to everybody, but phone's been blowing up ever since this was announced a few days ago. But I want to put an all-star team of scouts, just like I want to put an all-star team of players. I want to get the best guys. It's not going to be about who my friends are, who not. It's going to be about the best guys for the Buffalo Bills, and we're going to build this thing right.
Is it experience you look for in scouts? Is it maybe an alignment with your ideas or Sean's ideas? What do you kind of find? What do you look to find?
You know what? It's very similar to players. I want guys who are competitive, who want to do it, who love it. And this is not a job. They love, you know, digging some guy out of Penn State or, you know, Ohio State, wherever, you name the school. They want to spend what time it is, talk to the trainer, talk to the strength coach, talk to the academic advisor. They're basically like private investigators. They're finding out about these guys. We can all turn the film on, and I do want to hear their thoughts of them as a player, but I want to know everything about this kid, what makes him tick, and I need the guys that are going to go out there and do that for me.
You talked about being loyal and very loyal to the Panthers and now going to be loyal to the Bills. How hard is it to find a scout at this point of the year, you know, when most of these guys probably already have jobs?
Yeah, you know, it is. What you're looking for is maybe there's some areas to promote guys. You know, a guy from an area scout to a national scout to a college director, or a director of player personnel. So there's different avenues that we're going to look at. Got a lot of guys down, got a lot of work to do, but it's going to be a methodical approach to get the right guys.
Brandon Bean, our guest, the Bills general manager. The Pegulas placed the call. You go for an interview. And how soon after that did you start looking at the current Bills roster? And how much assessment have you done of the players who are here?
Obviously, it happened fast.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to looked at even more.
Sure.
But I did flip on a couple games and just looked at the guys and took the roster. And because us being NFC, this being AFC, had not taken a deep dive into the Bills roster. I knew the front line players. But I'm looking forward to, after I get this personnel staff set, to flipping the film back on, also watching what happens in the spring that Sean's already got going with the current guys and the guys that are draft picks.
Now, we always talk about the Patriots. We know the Patriots here in this division. When you first get the call, you know you're about to be hired. Do they come up in your mind in terms of the players that they have and the players that you need to beat that team?
Obviously, you know, the first thing you have to do to get in the playoffs is you need to win your division. That's your first goal every year, win the division. So you have to know your opponents. You have to know their strengths. You have to know their weaknesses. And it's the Patriots, the Dolphins, and the Jets. Mm-hmm. We can't just focus on the Patriots. We got to focus on the other guys because they're going to be trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, on the question of the roster, and Donald and I have been talking about this a last few days about, you know, there are long-term roster issues and how we're going to build the type of team we want, where we're going to, you know, what type of Buffalo Bill we want. I wonder, are you looking at any short-term, like, holes that you feel need to be addressed, you know, for this season, for 2017? And when, how can you start to get your arms around that at this league?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a snapshot look at some things that I think maybe some holes. But also, I want to sit down and talk with Sean and his staff. And I want to hear what they think. I want to hear what Leslie Frazier thinks. I want to hear what Rick Dennison thinks. I want to hear what everybody thinks. Again, this is going to be a collaborative approach. So I have my initial view, but I'm not saying that's the right way. But I'm going to wait and talk with them, and then we'll start building this thing.
We were wondering if at this time of the year, you know, here we are in mid-May, if pro personnel is more important to set up this operation as opposed to college scouting?
I don't think so. It's going to be all done at once. It may be that I hire a pro guy before a college guy, or it could be vice versa. It's really getting the interview process going, see who's available, see who the guys I've really targeted as an A-list guy. Mm-hmm. And some of it's just timing of where the guy is when his contract, if a team's going to let him out. So I've got a lot of hurdles to get through, but really no priority college or pro.
Donald, and I think we feel like we missed an opportunity to get T-shirts printed up that said, "Who controls the 53? It's become like a meme, yeah. Right, in Buffalo. You were asked about it, and we had a caller just before you came on, you know, who has the final say in making decisions. Is that an issue, and can you answer that, and how does that play out going forward, do you think?
It's not an issue if you don't make it an issue. Right. And, you know, I just don't think it's healthy to have a quote-unquote czar. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be collaborative, because you yourself, you can't do it all. You can't coach and scout. You can't just scout and coach. So I think at the end of the day, and that's the beauty that Sean and I already knew each other, and I know what he's already started, and I'm going to jump right in. And I think we're going to make decisions together. We know how each other ticks. We know that we're not always going to agree, but we both are going to be adults and mature, and we'll come to the right answer.
Now, in your past and your history and your career, throughout your career in the draft room, when you have a player that the GM might want, the head coach might not agree on that player, how is that supposed to play out?
Well, I think you talk it out, and if you do a good job preparing all through the fall and through the combine and the spring workouts, when you get to April, you set your board, you get the coaches' opinions after that, and then you massage it a little bit, and you look at clumps, and you talk about guys, and you go through scenarios wherever you're picking in the rounds, and you talk about, okay, if we get on the clock and these two guys are available, which one do we like more? And we're going to hash it out before draft day. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a little dangerous to get on the clock and start hashing things out. When we get a few picks out, we're going to pull, the board's going to tell us who to pick, and it's going to narrow it down to two or three guys that are sticking out on the board, and we're going to talk about them way before we actually get on the clock.
What do you think of the facilities? I know you just got here. What do you think, what you've seen so far?
It's amazing. I'm going to need a guide for a little bit to learn the ropes, but yeah. I'm just amazed. Never had an indoor facility in Carolina. The cafeteria is amazing. Went through the locker room, thought it was a great setup. I love where everything's located. The draft room, amazing draft room.
Yeah.
We had nothing like that in Carolina. The technology that the Pegulas have done. I mean, like I said, I mentioned earlier, they are going to provide every resource. It's up to us to get the job done.
I was told to ask you about wings. I don't know your history with wings down in North Carolina, but do you eat wings? And what have you heard about the wings up here?
I've actually had the wings up here before. Okay. I love wings. We went to the Anchor Bar the last time I was here in 2013 2015 mm-hmm. Preseason. We went over there, and I look forward to eating many Buffalo wings.
I feel compelled to tell you that Duff's Famous Wings is the official chicken wing sponsor of the Buffalo Bills. But that's okay.
Okay, perfect. Right. I'll get to Duff's immediately.
One last thing, and this is a question about your career arc. This is kind of where we started. You were a lifer at Carolina, 19 years there. This is a bold move for you. I mean, I know Dave Gettleman. He's a little bit older than me. Mm-hmm. Who knows how much longer he wants to work. You would have been in a position to be GM there.
Most definitely. Everyone assumed in Carolina that was where I was going to be. And you know what? I think even my family assumed that. But I never wanted to close any doors. Mm-hmm. I wanted to investigate any option and see what was best. And again, I just loved the whole setup, fell in love with Terry and Kim in the interview process, and it just I couldn't turn it down.
Thanks very much for being with us. You want to go out and watch your rookies, I imagine.
That'd be a lot of fun. See what we're dealing with. Thanks.
Thank you. Brandon Bean, the new general manager of the Buffalo Bills.